And good morning and welcome to another edition of Coach's Corner here on 1230 WSOO. I'm your host, Dave Watson. On this snowy Saturday, we're at Applebee's as always in the sports bar, tucked in our Coach's Corner here of the sports bar. And we have a great show for you here today at Applebee's on the I-75 Business Spur in Sioux, Michigan. On the corner, Matt Johnson, former boys basketball head coach, co-host of a neat new podcast on the GameSportsShow.com or 1230W or the podcast. .1230WSOO.com site that we, of course, put Coach's Corners on and replays a Blue Devil broadcast. You can find it there. It's called Full Court Press, and it features EUP boys basketball with Scott Nason and Matt Johnson, and we'll talk to Matt about that and get Matt's thoughts on the EUP boys basketball landscape, all that, and plus Sioux High head football coach Scott Menard will stop by. We'll call this Blue Devil OTAs with Coach Bedard here, second half of the show. Of course, information we'll pass along, off-season information about Sioux High football scheduling and different things, and we'll talk to Scotty coming up a little bit later on after this week in high school sports, all that much more, including this week in high school sports and what's on deck. But first, to the scores that matter from last night, as heard here on the official radio home of Blue Devil Athletics, 1230 WSOO, the Sioux High hockey team able to take on the Warren D. LaSalle Pilots last night. The number one ranked team in Division III is Warren D. LaSalle, number three in the Super 10 in the state of Michigan, and they blanked the Blue Devils 6-0, a very good effort by D. LaSalle. Sioux High did not play bad at all. D. LaSalle is just that good. They put on a clinic, and they win the game 6-0. They are 13-2-1 on the campaign, and Sioux High falls with the loss 7-7-2 on the year to 500. Second game last night as part of the Rodenroth Motors Showcase at the Big Bear Arena. Port Huron Northern doubled up on Traverse City West 4-2. Blue Devils will close out the Rodenroth Motors Showcase today. They'll take on Port Huron Northern. Face-off show comes your way around 2:50 or thereabouts on Radio Sioux, 1230WSOO.com, and the TuneIn app as well. Yours truly, Matt Arbeck, with the call from the Big Bear. Meanwhile, 1 p.m. game will be Warren D. LaSalle taking on Traverse City West in that Rodenroth Motors Showcase. Other high school hockey games of note, Alpena is reeling a bit. Four straight losses. They drop a 4-2 decision in Petoskey to the Northmen. Wildcats haven't won since January 7th here at the Twin Sioux Showcase at the Big Bear Arena. Meanwhile, Gaylord nips Negaunee in Negaunee 3-2. Houghton upends Granville. Nice win for the Gremlins, 5-1. Escanaba blanks Cadillac in the Banana Belt, 7-0. Manistique, 4-1 over the Marquette University. Sioux Greyhounds, big win for them on the road. Hounds, 4-2 at Guelph. They are off the rest of the weekend. Around the O we go. Sudbury, 2 better than Oshawa, 4-2. Kitchener doubles up on Windsor, 4-2. Owensound, 4-3 past Sarnia. Flint ices Saginaw, 6-3. Peterborough skates past Mississauga, 7-4. And Ottawa nips Niagara, 4-3. Laker High 5-1 win over the USA under-18s in exhibition play, albeit exhibition. Lake State needed that desperately as they are off the rest of the weekend, as they needed some rest as well. A nightmare start to the 2022 season. They really haven't been able to score goals, outscored by a plethora of goals. They will be at Northern Michigan next weekend over on Today's Hits 99.5 YesFM next Friday and Saturday. CCHA play last night. Ferris State upsets Bemidji State in Bemidji 2-1. That's a big upset. Bemidji hardly loses at home. And that will be big there because the Lakers are in sixth place in the CCHA point standings. Fifth place is Northern. However, Ferris State nipping on the Lakers' heels with that win last night. They're 2 points behind the Lakers now as Ferris State shocks Bemidji State at Bemidji last night 2-1. Meanwhile, Northern Michigan and Michigan Tech postponed for the weekend. They were supposed to play a home-and-home there. That will not happen. Probably COVID protocols going on there. Big Ten college hockey, Minnesota in overtime past Michigan 2-1. Penn State 4-1 winners over Wisconsin. Ohio State dumps Michigan State 4-1. National Hockey Conference, Western Michigan skates past North Dakota. The fourth-ranked Broncos win that game 4-1 in Kazoo at the Lawson Arena, one of the toughest rinks to get a win. It's an all-metal bleacher facility, and it's loud when they pack it, and they normally do, and they're one of the top five teams in the country, so I'm sure it was loud last night. Minnesota Duluth 5-1 past Nebraska Omaha. St. Cloud 11-1. They take Miami out back behind the woodshed. Denver derails Colorado College 5-1. 5-0. Hockey East, UMass squeaks by Northeastern in action last night, 3-2. New Hampshire, 2 better than Connecticut, 3-1. Scott Borick's Merrimack squad upsets UMass by UMass Lowell, 3-1 last night. In Vermont, nips Boston University 2-1 in OT. Providence stomps Boston College 7-0. ECAC, top-ranked Quinnipiac dumps Colgate 5-1. Princeton upsets the 8th-ranked Cornell Big Red 5-4. Clarkson 5-5 at Dartmouth. And the Golden Knights win it in overtime, or rather in a shootout, past Dartmouth. Meanwhile, Harvard aces St. Lawrence 4-1. Yale 5-3 winners over RPI in Union without their coach. Controversy there. Rick Bennett has been removed right now on an administrative leave, and no other details there. Rick Bennett was the head coach of the 2013 National Championship team, so something's cooking there. 3-1 win for the Flying Dutchman over Brown. Atlantic Hockey, Holy Cross battles past Army 3-1. Bentley cruises past Canisius 7-4. Air Force flies past Mercyhurst 5-2. Niagara 5-2 over RIT as well in action. NOJHL, the plans to restart the season right now is February 3rd. They are in the midst of a three-week pause due to COVID. Sioux AAA Indians hockey home this weekend to the A21 Windsor squad, an academy team at 3 o'clock today at the Able Arena, 8 a.m. tomorrow also at the Able Arena. Girls basketball, Sioux High's game at Newberry postponed till Monday, January 31st. They were supposed to play last night. Girls games of note last night, St. Ignace, they're starting to click as they knock off Sheboygan, and they took them out back behind the woodshed, 59-22, Pickford 20 over Rudyard Panthers. A big win there, 67-47 winners. Engadine dribbles by Cedarville Detour, 54-35. Petoskey hangs on over Traverse City Central, 44-39. Traverse City West wins in a defensive contest over Cadillac, 28-25. Escanaba 8 over Burke River Harris, 52-44. Nagani hammers Ishpeming Westwood, 67-37. Hancock, meanwhile, drills Iron Mountain, 55-25. Menominee runs past Kingsford, 49-38. Munising blasts Rapid River, ouch, 58-17. Norway trips North Dickinson in overtime, 40-38 in action there. And meanwhile, Barraga 40-28 winners over Ontonagon. Stevenson pounds their opponent, 49-19. You know, as Ironwood was able to win, 63-44 winners over Dollar Bay. And it was, as well, Kearney-Nadu all over Mid-Peninsula, 59-19. Lance, 53-31 winners over Wakefield-Marinesco. Boys basketball, Sioux High's boys b-ball team off last night. Their game Thursday, home to Newberry, also was postponed. It will be made up on Monday, January 31st in the Sioux here on Radio Sioux. Sioux High boys basketball will be at home on Monday to Pickford, and that will be around 7 o'clock, also on 1230 WSOO with Ray Bell and yours truly. Boys b-ball from last night, Alpena slams Gaylord 72-44, Petoskey tops Traverse City Central 52-46, Nagani 51-43 winners over Ishpeming Westwood in action last night in boys basketball. Meanwhile, Menominee tops Powers North Central 51-26. Crystal Falls Forest Park 59-39 winners over West Iron County. And Wakefield Marinesco buries Lance 81-34. Laker hoops at Northwood today. The women at 1 and the men at 3 in Midland. Other GLIAC teams in action. Grand Valley State is those games going on at the Bud Cooper Gym today, I should say, against Northwood. And those are home games. Also on News Talk 1400, I do believe. Other GLIAC teams in action. Grand Valley State is in action today at 1 and 3. Davenport at Michigan Tech at noon and 2. Saginaw Valley State is in Wisconsin to take on Parkside. Wayne State is at Purdue Northwest at 2 and 4. Those are the scores that matter. When we return, Matt Johnson joins us. We'll talk some boys basketball with Matt coming up. This is Coach's Corner from Applebee's on 1230 WSOO. And welcome back to Coach's Quarter here at Applebee's here on the I-75 Business Spur in Sioux, Michigan. A little bit of snow out there this morning. Looks like some fluffy stuff, so nothing to be too concerned about right now. As we continue here at 11:17 on Coach's Corner at Applebee's, we're joined by our good friend, a former boys basketball coach, also still the line coach at the Sioux High football, Matt Johnson. Matt also now co-hosts a new podcast on thegamesportsshow.com. Also, you can get there on podcast.1230. WSOO.com. Of course, that's Scott Nason's site with all those great podcasts. And Scott and Matt have a new one that Matt approached Scott with, an EUP boys basketball podcast, all on boys hoops. And we have Matt on now to talk about that and also boys hoops in the area. And good morning. Thanks for stopping in here, Matt. I know we're taking it away from your pregame activities. Get ready for your Cincinnati Bengals at Tennessee later today. But thanks for coming in and talking some boys basketball with us.
Yeah, I think it's a positive. I think it got my mind off that game for a little bit.
There you go. maybe it will be a good luck charm, too, for the Bengals.
Yes.
I'm a Browns fan, as I told Matt, and everybody knows that, that listens to me. And of course, I've said it many times. And even though they're in the same division, they are not the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I'll pull for the Bengals today. So Houdet, go for the Bengals against Tennessee, and hopefully they can get the win later today. But Matt, of course, you have that podcast started. It usually downloads on Saturday. You and Scott, EUP Boys Basketball, of course, is what the focus is, called Full Court Press. Tell us about it. Listen to it last week. Very informative and entertaining it is. And, of course, it keeps your big toe in the water of basketball.
Yeah. We record it every weekend. So sometimes it's Saturday, sometimes it's Sunday. Like tomorrow we're going to record on Sunday. And for the first time, we're going to have a guest. Ken DePue is supposed to come on, Newberry's basketball coach. But, yeah, it does. I'm really watching. I'm watching as many games now as I did when I was coaching. Perhaps more. Well, I don't know about more, but at least as many. the difference is, you know, I don't have a nervous pit in my stomach all the time. and I you can see clearly when you're kind of relaxed, and I'm able to watch them from the comfort of home on NFHS and Facebook and YouTube and things like that. But what we're trying to do is really provide something that kind of that's missing in the market, which is something specific about boys basketball in the region, right? Like there's a lot of great sports shows. You certainly do great work, but this is very specific to just the one thing. And we get kind of granular more than other shows, where I talk about it from, you know, a coach's point of view, and I get into strategy, which I think people enjoy, right? They kind of like hearing, and I give opinion. You know, a lot of times people are afraid of kind of offending coaches and offending. And listen, I like all these guys, and sometimes they're not going to like what I say, and that's fine. They'll get over it. you know, I'm like,
you have my mindset about that, because that's how I am. I tell it like it is, and even with the Sioux High games I do, and you know, and I know people probably go to whether it's Coach Bedard or Coach Bennett, and then to say, well, Watson said that. You know, of course, you know, coaches, you know, focus on their team, and they're like, yeah, a lot of times, and not all the time, perhaps, but I think sometimes they're like, yeah, he's right. You know, or they're like, well, that's Watson. You know, he's going to tell it like it is, you know. So in your case, too, I think you got that respect factor, too. You've earned it. And people know you're going to, you know, tell it like it is. And I think that makes for a really good show. And that's why I really enjoyed the first episode I could listen to last week, in the fact that you're pretty unfiltered. You're gonna tell it like it is. But at the same time, you also really focus on the positive, too.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, while I will be critical sometimes, I also think it could be therapeutic. You know, I'm talking to a lot of coaches now, and they're a little more open to talk when I'm not competing against them. Because before that, you know, you don't want to share information that could be used against you. And what I tell them is like
they're getting questioned by the FBI.
Yeah. And if, you know, if they talk to me in confidence, and I'm offering advice to guys, I don't share those conversations,
right?
You know, with other coaches, because they don't trust it. So I want to hear like what they're thinking, right, and what they're planning. So really, I'm learning more about like where these teams are at, and it's really been fun. I'm really enjoying it.
I could tell you are. Matt Johnson, of course, with us, part of the new podcast, Full Court Press, of course, on thegamesportshow.com with the co-host Scott Nason, does a tremendous job with all the podcasts. And Matt, a part of that now, a former boys basketball coach, still coaches football, of course, with Sue High and Coach Menard. But Matt, looking at the landscape at UP boys basketball, your thoughts so far on the area teams as a whole and how things have been transpiring as we've hit over the halfway mark already of the regular season?
Well, one thing that comes to mind is just the strength of the Straits Area Conference relative to the EUP Conference. And that's not always, you know, there's a pendulum and it swings. You know, 2 years ago, our team in Pickford, we won the EUP. And in that year, and the couple years before that, the EUP had stronger basketball teams than the Straits, right? I think we had several that would have beaten all the, and the Straits teams were down quite a bit. Well, now that's not the case
at all.
Yeah, you look at it and you're like, Rudyard and the Sioux, to me, are the top two, and there's quite a gap. I think it's Rudyard and the Sioux are the top two teams in the region. I don't even just mean the conference. I mean the region. St. Ignace is number three, and then there's kind of a bigger drop after that, I would say. But Rudyard and the Sioux are in the dominant position. Rudyard, I don't think that they're – I said last week on our show I thought they wouldn't have a team within 15 points in the UP. I might amend that there might not be a team within 30. I mean, that's the level of dominance we're seeing in that league. The Sioux, I've been watching them, and I think they have their lineup right. I think that they have more talent than any team I've seen in several years from them. I actually think that the Sioux is going to beat Rudyard the next time they play.
Be next Friday here on Radio Sioux. Oh, look out, he put it out there. But, you know, and that doesn't surprise me that you said that, because listening to you last week, Matt, you went on saying, you know, look out for that Sioux High team. And of course, you know, I'm like, well, you know, they played Rudyard real tough. But, you know, and then I got thinking about it. And it's like, well, he makes a lot of sense with that, because you get lost in the records sometimes. And you look at their schedule, and they don't play cupcakes. They play some of these Big North teams. Alpena's tough. They were able to get them. They went up to Marquette, got beat pretty good, but that Marquette normally is a pretty good team. So they're not playing cupcakes there. And you look at it, and it's like, well, yeah, they're below 500, but 2-1 in the league. They've been competitive in the league. Other than Rudyard, they've handled their business so far. We'll see with Newberry here in a week. But, you know, after you pull the onion back, so to speak, the peel back the onion, it's like, boy, Matt's right. Matt makes a lot of sense when you really look at that Sioux High team and just don't gloss over the record.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about – the thing with record is that's sometimes about who you play, right? So – yeah, you're going to have a different result, you know, if you're playing a Great North team versus one of the lower teams in the UP or team that's down. I would argue, too, like, so the Sioux, I unfortunately wasn't able to see their game against Marquette. I was desperately looking for it, and I wasn't able to find it online. But you play a team like Marquette, and in losing to a better team, it makes you better. It is hard to get better pounding on teams that are worse than you, right? Mm-hmm. So you always want to schedule up. If you're a team that has ambition of, like, going, you're going to go to the Breslin Center, you're going to make a run, you want to schedule up. And it's hard to do when you're dominant over your competition. So, like, Rudyard, I know they're looking forward to Munising today. That's not scheduling up. I think Rudyard's going to win decisively, but at least they're better. You know, it's a better team. But the Sioux is going to come into that game. I think that they have enough discipline to, like, avoid turnovers. I think they're going to play tough defense. They have enough size. That's another thing when you go against Rudyard. It's like you have to have, you know, they have Besteman. He's 6'6", 6'7", one of those big guys. And if you don't have a guy like that, if you only have a 6'1 guy, you just don't have an answer. And there's nothing you could draw on the board to answer that. But the Sioux, they don't have 6'6", but they have some size, Campbell. So I just look at it, and I think the Sioux has some depth. They have to try to get Bestman in foul trouble. And you know what? Rudyard, I think, will be motivated. Like, to hear someone even whisper the idea of them as an underdog against an opponent, that might light a fire. And Jimmy's competitive as can be.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Well, and here's my mild concern with Rudyard, not as much because Jimmy's there and, you know, Jimmy will have them ready to go. I look at right now, and you look at the scores, you know, and again, it's not indicative sometimes of the team, but you look at it, they were tested once really big by the Sioux. St. Ignace pushed them pretty good a week ago, but Rudyard was able to get the win at home. And, you know, I look at it, and I don't know what they have non-conference-wise the rest of the year, Matt, but they kind of remind me a little bit, and this is my worry that I'm getting at, is you remember that undefeated Brimley team a few years ago. I said, this is the and I know folks at Brimley got mad at me at the time, I said, might be the weakest 20-0 team I've seen because, you know, they weren't tested. They were, you know, cruising past everybody, and I said, I want to see how they are when they face adversity. You know, that really is where the cookie crumbles. And then when they did face adversity and Pelston was able to beat them, and that was a really good Pelston team in the regional semis. So I kind of look at that and I kind of compare the two. And I think Rudyard's not going to be in that category, but you look at how the games have been going, they're kind of falling kind of similar to what happened to Brimley a few years ago. So, you know, that's kind of a worry in the back of my mind.
Yeah, that year was interesting because that – so – my Pickford team that year, we had all these guys get hurt from football, and we had like half our guys out. But they were starting to come back, and I had scouted that Brimley team. Like, I had gone in person like four or five times to Brimley. And I was just preparing for that thing like it was the Super Bowl of basketball. But we had them. Like, we had them. We just got in some foul trouble and things like that. But the difference – here's the difference between – that Brimley team in Rudyard, they were doing some stuff that was not playing to the strengths of their talent. They were like, why would you have, they had one of the fastest teams around without a lot of, and they're in a 2-3 zone. And it was like, well, I don't know what you're trying to do here. I mean, they're good kids, but, and they'll kind of probably win with kind of anything. Jimmy and Tracy Peterson is coaching with Jimmy. They're going to have their guys prepared. They're not going to do some kind of strategy that's, you know, counter to their talent.
Right.
So, honestly, I think that that was a big factor in Brimley losing.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to happen to Rudyard, but I take your point on
right. They're
not getting challenged. And
but I think that's the X factor. Like you mentioned, you got two guys are really good coaches that have had success in Jimmy and Tracy. And the athlete – and the other thing, too, is these Rudyard kids, they don't get rattled. I mean, and they've had success that – I've said it a million times, the Rudyard athletic program as a whole, this might be the best success I've seen a school have as far as a whole for boys and girls. But you look at these kids, you know, from football to basketball to baseball, you know, nothing rattles them. And they just – they seem like they're college athletes at times, just their maturity.
No question. I mean, people are very excited. I'm happy for everyone involved.
Yeah.
John Krentz is a friend of mine. He's the AD there. I think he's doing a heck of a job. A post I used to hold.
That's right, you did.
Yeah, and John and I get together usually about once a year and shoot the bull. But, no, I mean, you can feel it. The people there they're excited right now. I think that you enter a stage, though, because last year it started, right, with basketball. You really saw it start, although you could see it coming the years before. But now they're kind of in an odd position of, you know, you're really just not the underdog anymore. You're not, like, the new story. They've been kind of established. So now there's, like, a pressure that comes along with it. And I think they've handled it well. Their kids are very mature about how they prepare for basketball. Like, they watch a lot of film. I know that about their kids. And, like, I'm just told, like, they're sitting in the locker room waiting for their game, the JV game's going on,
mm-hmm.
and they have, like, their phone out and they're watching other teams play. Like, they're preparing for for games.
You can't teach that.
Yeah, it's an excitement,
yeah.
Right? An excitement about basketball. So I'm rooting for them. And I think I don't think they're going to get tripped up the way that Brimley did.
You know, and speaking of Brimley, EUP conference, you know, we'll look at the rest of the conference quickly. Brimley, you know, had that COVID issue, and it's too bad because they seem to be improved. 4-3, Jacques LeBlanc is doing a pretty good job of that program from all accounts. Played well at the Mackinac City tournament before Christmas. They got pounded pretty good here the other day, I think by Rudyard. It wasn't on Tuesday. And then
Newberry.
Oh, Newberry, and which was kind of a surprise to me a little bit. But Brimley's improved, and Cedarville Detour's kind of snuck up on people with a decent record. What's your thoughts of everybody else in that conference?
Well, so with Brimley, you know, you saw them in their first game. They were just dominant against Pickford, and they really shot well, and it looks like they had put in some gym time. And after Christmas, it's just even like, what's going on?
Man.
Well, one of the things that's happened is the COVID era, right? Coaching and COVID and the disruption that's occurred. So they had an outbreak, I think, at their school, and they caused a lot of games to get canceled. Ken DePew told me, you know, when Newberry played Brimley, everyone just sees the score, and if you didn't watch the game, you don't have any sense of like context or anything. They had several guys out. Okay, Brimley had several guys out. So Here's what I don't know. I talked about this in the podcast last week. I have no idea what their practice schedule's been like.
Mm-hmm.
If their school has taken a stance of none of these people can practice, that kind of
explains. And they have.
Yeah. You're basically behind the eight ball, and it's going to take a while to catch up. That's that. Cedarville Detour, who I – you know, I watched them play against Pickford. They're going to win some games, but they're going to have a real hard time, I think, competing with, like, a Rudyard. I don't see it in that league. They're just kind of a step below where Rudyard's at. And no offense to them, it's like everyone is, right? So I don't see, like I said earlier, I just don't see anyone coming close in the EUP to Rudyard.
No, and it's like it's them and everybody else. Newberry seems to be very improved. You'll, of course, be chatting with Kenny DePew tomorrow about that. I'm interested when they come to the Sioux because they start off 0-4, then they go 3-3 and win. So they're an intriguing team there as well. But you're right. I think it's Rudyard and then pretty much everybody else. That's just the way the cookie's crumbling this year.
Yeah, and one team, they're not in the UP, they're in the Straits. That I will call out, though, who I really have enjoyed watching is St. Ignace. They just play hard, really hard. And their kids who are dedicated, they're kids who put time in the gym. They have the best shooters of all the teams in the region, including Rudyard. I just look at it, and I see four kids in that lineup that are good shooters.
Yep.
And that's the thing upsets are made of, because they don't really have an answer for some of Rudyard's size or the Sioux size, but here's their answer: you score two, we score three.
Yep.
I don't know what you do on defense. You don't have an answer, but your answer is you score three for every two of theirs, and they hustle their tails off, and I just wouldn't want to play them in an important game because it's like they could knock someone off.
Yeah, and Johnny Ingles, he gets going. Look out, Al! It could be over in a hurry. We saw that last year with him at times. The podcast is Full Court Press with Matt Johnson, Scott Nason on thegamesportsshow.com. Downloaded most Saturdays. This case, they're going to record it Sunday, and Scott usually has it up fairly quickly. It's entertaining in about 40, 45 minutes or so, and I really enjoyed the war story segment of Matt, regaling us in stories of his past coaching, leaving names out. That's an entertaining way to end the show, but it's a very good podcast. Go ahead and check it out, folks. Matt, thanks for stopping by and talking some boys basketball with us here. And again, congrats on doing that podcast. A lot of people are talking about it, and it's getting the reviews that I thought it would. And thanks again for coming by and promoting that and talking some hoops with us.
All right, it's been a pleasure. I'm going to go root for my Bengals.
Go Bengals. We'll pull for you, too. We won't pull for Coach Bernard's Packers, though, but we'll pull for the Bengals. That's Matt Johnson, of course, with the Full Court Press, a former boys basketball coach and also a Sioux High football assistant coach as well. And speaking of the Blue Devil football, we'll talk to Coach Bernard coming up in a moment. Scotty is here. This Week in High School Sports coming up next. Then Coach Bernard, it's Coach's Corner from Applebee's on 1230 WSOO. Now joined by Blue Devil head football coach Scott Bernard. I refer to this as off-season OTAs of Blue Devil football with Coach Bernard. Scotty, thanks for coming on there, fella, and I hope you and yours are had a good holidays, Christmas and New Year.
Oh, yeah, we did, Dave. It's great to be on. You know, it's great to talk football any time of the year, so I was looking forward to being on today. Hard act to follow, though.
Oh,
with Johnson.
I'll tell you what, he's got a good thing going there with that podcast.
I listened to the podcast yesterday, and
I told you about it there.
A lot of chuckles on it.
It is, and it's very informative.
Well, now you got to understand, I have to listen to this 5 days a week during football season. Only it's football at the center of it, so.
And then on the bus on the way to games.
Oh, no, he hasn't ridden a bus since he started.
Oh, he does it?
Me, no. He's got elite status, so he doesn't need to ride the bus.
He flies down in his Learjet.
Yeah, him and Campbell.
I thought it would be a good time to have Coach Bernard on here, and a smattering of news going on with the team and, of course, schedule and things of that nature. We'll start with the schedule, Scott. Some changes to next year, and we'll talk again as we talked at your end of the season appearance here on the show. That is with the playoff formula, and that pretty much dictated that you had to do something, and there's been some tweaks. Tell us about what's going on there.
Well, the conference schedule itself will remain the same as far as the teams that we play, except that we won't play Tawas this year. They moved down into probably where they should have been, the middle division. It might even been the bottom division, to be honest with you, Dave. But so we removed Tawas off our schedule, and we also removed Gladstone off our schedule, replaced them with Petoskey and Escanaba.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, and you know, that's just, we talked about this, you know, it's just the nature of the beast right now is that we have to make steps to find teams that are a little bit bigger, that are more on our level of Division III or Division IV, you know, just so that we can at least, if we win our six games, which we've been, you know, fairly adept at doing the last couple of years, at least get us in the playoffs because, you know, nobody wants to win six again. I mean, six is great, don't get me wrong, but nobody wants to win six and then have to sit home and watch playoff games on the first Friday and Saturday when you should be in them. So Steve's done a good job. You know, for next year, the year after, I think there's a lot of question marks right now, Dave, as far as what direction we're going to go there.
And I have a question about that here in a moment. But first, with Tawas out, anybody replace him as far as in the league?
Nope.
In
the division? They just moved to a different division.
Okay.
Yeah, so the rest of the division team, so with Kingsley, Ogama, St. Grayling. Francis, Grayling, Sheboygan, and Benzie are all still there.
All right, so and then you have Petoskey and Escanaba on there.
And then we have St. Ignace still.
And St. Ignace still,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's the nine-game slate, St. Ignace coming up here.
Yes, sir.
This year.
Yeah.
And, you know, that parlays me to this, and that is you and I talked about the, of course, formula and the fact 6-3 didn't get us in, and that formula changed. And, you know, they talk at strength of schedule. It's not really that. I don't look at it. It's more of a population thing. You know, we did not play anybody Sioux High, for that matter.
Right.
Did not play anybody bigger than
right.
them the whole course of the season. And that's how you garner points.
Yeah.
And that's the way they set it up. Now, it's strength of schedule. I think the schedule is pretty solid when you're playing Kingsley and Traverse City, St. Francis, and Grayling. The three losses,
yeah.
There were three playoff teams. Gladstone is a playoff team. Sioux High beat them on the road. And so the strength of schedule is there. It's more of the population is of what the formula is. We had, if you heard it last week, we had Mark Ewell on this program mm-hmm. again. And we, towards the end of the interview with Mark, I touched on this. And he talked about they're still compiling information. And
right.
he doesn't have complete power. He has a board and that whole thing that overlooks that. But I found it interesting. And if you heard it, he once again – and I don't want to put words in his mouth, uh-huh. but I got the impression that Mark likes the one idea that you and I have talked about, and he's kicked around with us as well, because he brought it up again, and he keeps on bringing it up. 8-game regular season,
right.
Everybody gets in the playoffs. I found that intriguing that he brought that up again. I think he likes that.
Yeah, you know, and we've talked about that. I mean, the one difference, obviously, between football and every other sport in high school is there is kind of that, I don't know if you would call it elite status, where, okay, you do have to win to get in. But on the flip side, that's very difficult. That puts a lot of pressure in your scheduling. You know, I heard, you know, you guys talking earlier about the idea that, you know, some schools in basketball, especially Matt mentioned that, you know, you need to schedule up. And even if you lose to a good team, it doesn't hurt you,
right.
Especially if it's a non-conference game. But in football, you really can't afford to do that. You really have to be very careful about how you, you know, how you, especially for us where we are, how we plan that out. And I think the playoff system that is in current place, I think it does reward a lot of schools that are in metropolitan areas, you know, and the fact that they don't have to travel, or the schools that they play already are already their size. And for us to, you know, have to go and play in this conference, we did it out of necessity a couple of years ago because we just couldn't fill a schedule.
Right.
You know, and now that we're in it, we thought, oh, this is great, because like you said, Kingsley, perennial playoff team that goes a long way. Traverse City, St. Francis, the same thing. You know, Alpena doesn't want to play those teams.
No.
Petoskey doesn't want to play those teams.
No.
We play them, but we don't get any reward for doing so. So it's really put us in an unfortunate spot, I think, because, you know, I think our time in this Northern Michigan Football League is probably, the end is probably near.
You know, and it's really unfortunate. And, you know, Mark Ewell brought that up. He said, you know, Sioux High might have to change leagues. And I chimed in, I believe, in the interview last week and said, you know, that's unfortunate because this league makes a lot of sense.
It does.
You know, geographically, everything involved competitiveness. But because of the way the system, and he admitted that, you know, it's unfortunate, you know, that, you know, things need to be, you know, reevaluated, you know, and I'm still hopeful that, you know, if they go to that 8-game, let's say they say, okay, we're going to go to the 8-game regular season, everybody gets in, that changes the whole ball game there for Sioux High, because then he can stay in the league.
Yeah, but the problem is the longer you wait. The longer the MHSAA waits, the harder it is. I know
because
for
of
us,
schedules.
Because of schedule. Because you want to be ready. You know, like I said, the reason we got in that conference before was we had such a strange schedule where, you know, you're bouncing around from 3 hours in the Western UP to 4 hours, you know, in the Lower Peninsula and going east and west on both sides of the Lower Peninsula. And, you know, all of a sudden you get to this conference where there's some stability, you know your schedule, they're all literally in the same place, you get an I-75, it's not that bad of a drive, and you got great competition, different levels of schools, but different types of offenses and defenses. You know, we've loved to be in it, they've been very welcoming to us, but again, I just think the situation we're in, unless the MHSAA makes a move here within the next, gosh, Dave, I would say they'd have to do it by March. Like I said, we really have to start looking at the fact that we're probably not going to be in that conference in 2023.
And not to forecast, but, you know, you have a situation where you have several schools that you've played before, those Big North schools that were left, out in the cold when the Traverse Cities left, you know, as far as looking for a league. And that's a possibility. And, you know, you don't want to wait too long if they're going to form a new Michigan Huron Shores or what have you, or a different kind of a Big North conference that could involve Sioux High. So, you know, there's options on the table.
Yeah.
You don't want to leave those options, too. That's the other part of the thing.
Well, you know, and that's the part about, you know, the off season, the winter is now all of these ideas, and I wouldn't necessarily call them rumors, but all the ideas start to roll around, like, okay, if we're not going to be in this conference, where are we going to go? Okay, well, if we go in what they're going to keep calling it the Big North, as far as I know.
Yep.
But it's a 4-team conference. Okay, so we're the fifth team. Well, now we have to find 5 games. You know, who's going to still play us in the, you know, in the Michigan football? You know, we hope Sheboygan, we hope Ogallala, because we have, you know, we've had some relationships with them, obviously rivalries with them for years now. But where else do we go? Do we go west? Do we have to go pick up Marquette? We picked up Escanaba. Do we go get Gladstone again? So there's just a lot of questions either way you go as far as what's going to happen, you know, not this coming season, but in 2023.
Well, and the other part of the equation, too, is you look at that, you know, is there a possibility maybe Escanaba or Marquette, perhaps, you know, depending on how things go, especially Marquette?
Well, Dave, I know that idea has, again, been batted around a little bit, the idea that, you know, when you look at Marquette, they're almost in a similar situation because they're Division II, so they have to play down to Escanaba, who's D4, and then you get to Kingsford, who's 5, and Menominee, who's 6, maybe verging on 7 as their conference. So I know that there's been the idea, or at least been the talk of Elise Escanaba and Marquette, like you said, maybe getting part of that just for football, that Big North Conference as well. And then we jump in there, and now, okay, we're at seven. That's a little bit more palatable for scheduling.
Before I let you get going, players are moving on playing college football. You probably have more names than I do. We'll start with Jake Davey going to Alma. I thought that was great.
Yes, it is.
And that's a solid program, a D3 program, and he'll fit right in there.
He had an opportunity, I think, to go to St. Norbert's as well, but staying in Michigan, and I think his parents liked the idea, and I think he liked the idea of still being fairly close but being involved in, you know, a Michigan school. And really, Dave, that's about it. You know, we've got a couple of kids, Jacob, Ryan LaPlante, and John Robinson, who will go and play in the UP All-Star game. But as far as college football, that's about it. You know, and so it's tough sometimes because, you know, I know a lot of the kids that, you know, the kids that we had last year that graduated, you know, you still have this COVID carryover. So the recruiting isn't as as widespread as it was 4 or 5 years ago. And I think some kids get lost in the wash. You know, that's not to demean from the fact that, you know, both those guys and all those seniors we had great high school careers and, you know, won a ton of games and made the playoffs. But just right now, I think the fact that Jacob's going is great. I think we had a couple of the kids that could have played, but it just doesn't look like it's going to be in the cards for next year.
But, you know, we were pretty I think everybody pretty ecstatic because there's a guy that in Jake that wanted to continue to play college football. If he was just a hair bigger, he'd be playing D2 football.
I couldn't tell you how many times, you know, Matt and I and Gordy and Brad and Brendan and whoever else talked about the idea that, you know, you take that kid's maturity and work ethic and got ice in his veins and, you know, he's 6'1 or 6'2. You know, he's got probably college coaches every weekend following him around. So it's unfortunate, but, I you know, like I said this back in the fall when we finished the season, you know, I think wherever Jacob goes, he's going to be an asset to that program because he's a good student, he's a great person, he's a hard worker, and he's a phenomenal athlete.
Tremendous stuff there. Scott, as always, thanks for coming on.
Absolutely.
We're looking forward. Always fun to talk high school football and Blue Devil football. Go Pack, go.
Yes, sir.
Green Bay tonight. I said it for Matt and his Bengals that Go Pack, go against the 49ers tonight. Enjoy the game. And as always, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
All right. That is Scott Menard, head football coach at Sioux High. We'll be back with What's on Deck and to close up shop. It's Coach's Corner at Applebee's on 1230 WSOO. And we're back here on Coach's Corner at Applebee's. Time for What's on Deck and a close-up shop. Sioux High Hockey closes out the Roden-Rath Motors Showcase today. Blue Devils take on Port here on Northern around or a bit after 2:50 on 1230 WSOO, 1230WSOO.com, and the TuneIn app as well. Meanwhile, Red Ring Hockey at Nashville at 7:15 on Radio Sioux tonight. Piston Basketball will be tomorrow, 7:45 over on News Talk 1400 as the Pistons take on Denver on the road. The game on Monday night returns on News Talk 1400, 6 to 8 p.m. with Scott Nason, Sault Ste. Marie's only local, regional, national sports show. Scotty has Dave McKeag from Sioux, Ontario in the first hour, updates the NOJHL, Greyhounds, OHL, and NHL, usually a local guest as well, and on that first hour. In the second hour, co-host Butch Davis stops by on Butch on Sports. And Butch and Scott take a look at the whole sports landscape. It's the game with Scott Nason and crew, 6 to 8 p.m. on News Talk 1400 and thegamesportsshow.com. Sioux High Boys Basketball is home on Monday night to the Pickford Panthers. Ray Bell will join me for the call. We'll have the tip-off show coming your way around 7 or a bit after on Radio Sioux, 1230WSOO.com and the TuneIn app, and that will be on Monday. Tuesday, the Laker Hockey Show with head coach Damon Witten, the voice of Laker Hockey, Bill Crawford, as well on News Talk 1400. And then, of course, they have players on that show as well throughout the course of the year. Wednesday, it's back to Blue Devil Boys Basketball and Detour against Cedarville Detour, tip-off show around 7 on Radio Sioux. Thursday, the Blue Devil girls basketball team has a big game home to Rudyard in Straits Area Conference play. It's a three-team race right now, and Scott Nason will be there to have the call with Ray Bell with the tip-off show around 7 on 1230 WSOO. Friday, it's a Blue Devil sports doubleheader. First, it's Sioux High Hockey at the Chelsea Showcase as they will take on Jenison. That will come your way at 4 o'clock, 3:45 face-off show. Blue Devil boys basketball around 7 at Rudyard with Scott Nason and Ray Bell, all on Radio Sioux. I'd like to thank our guests today, Matt Johnson and Scott Menard, for guesting on the corner. Next Saturday, Scott Nason's guest hosting for yours truly. I'll be in Chelsea with the Blue Devil hockey team. Replays of replays of Coach's Corner can be heard at podcast.1230wsoo.com. Coach's Corner is a sports presentation at 1230 WSOO. And for the gang here at Applebee's, our broadcast engineer, Izzy Stratton, who did a tremendous job. I'm Dave Watson. That will do it for now. Until next time, we are out of here.